Where do the motherfucking cheese go at?
I don't know.
Where the motherfucking cheese go at?
I don't know.
Motherfucking.
I don't know.
Where do the motherfucking cheese go
at? I don't know.
Bitch, where the motherfucking cheese at?
I don't know.
Motherfucker,
I don't know.
Where the motherfucking cheese go at?
I don't know.
I spent a lot of time in the 90s trying not to be co-opted. And I have to say that it's just as childish a pursuit and a conceit to think that you can avoid being co-opted as it is to think that you can someday be king or whatever. That's just everyone's co-opted by time, by life, you know, and it's just how
about,
you deal with
about
it.
What about Discord?
Jimi Hendrix, there's a great Jimi Hendrix line. Who in your measly world are you trying to prove that you're made out of gold and can't be sold?
Yeah. To our righteous right? mommies and daddies.
And you know what? Castles made out of sand melt into the sea eventually, you know.
Yeah.
There's no way around it.
What about Discord Records? Ian MacKay and Fugazi out of Washington, D.C.
Well, I remember when there was a whole thing when they had a whole thing that they wouldn't charge more than $5 for a show.
Yep. And if you went into like a major record store and you saw one of their CDs, it would say, do not pay more than $9 for this CD. And the cost of the CD would be $9.
Here's the thing, is that they were lucky in this capitalist system to find people who find the
enormous.
Either the audience or the labels or the media that align with their aesthetic so that they were able to keep that righteous stance. Because I know a lot of other artists who were, I would say, even more indie than them, who had similar righteous stances, who you never heard of. They had a good machinery for promoting their righteous fan. To the point where I'm someone who's not even that big a fan, but I know when you talk about Fugazi, I know about their stance more than I know about their music.
Fucking great band, great albums, great shows. It's just complete 100% total dedication, mixed with talent, mixed with actually producing good music. That's the thing. A lot of, I think, intention and a lot of idealism and a lot of wanting to break through the walls or to do it yourself, sometimes it doesn't come along with the talent to match. And unfortunately, that equation is just not going to work, you know?
But I have a hard time about being talent or about being good.
But what would you call it? What would you call it, Ben?
I would call it being lucky, being aesthetically
so
aligned.
It's not something about the artistic ability to translate a vision into music. It's about being lucky. No, I think it's.
I know. Look,
no, it's
when,
both.
When you,
it's both.
When you say
it's just
that,
so
the success, yes.
hard
when you say that
to
success,
do.
When you say that the success of Fugazi is because they were so talented, as opposed to other people who weren't successful, who were not as talented, is like it seems like you're saying because someone wasn't as successful as Fugazi, they weren't as good as Fugazi.
I'm just saying,
and I have to say, having
they are a one example in an ocean of. They're one successful example in an ocean of failures. I just think that it's so difficult to truly do it yourself. But the reason they exist is to prove that you can do it. You know? They are...
I go on a limb. I bet one of them had a girlfriend who was really good with email or mailing lists or something. Like, there's some alignment. Like, it's almost... never just about someone being talented and righteous. You can be talented and righteous. And if you don't have someone who's willing to do the work to make sure that other people know you're talented and righteous, they'll never know.
Yeah, it's a self-promotion issue along with just a promotion issue. But self-promotion initially, and some people just aren't oriented in that way. And that's, you know, that's the way it goes.
A lot of people aren't oriented in that way, and that's why they have labels and managers and, you know, fans or band girlfriends or band boyfriends.
Yeah, I couldn't have done all the showings of my art that I've been doing in the way that I've been doing it without the help of Amy. I mean, that's the thing. She's like, I mean, I need somebody because I just don't think that way. I don't think about selling my product. I just want to create my product. Like, I just, not even as a product. I just want to fucking create. And then it's like, after the fact, it's like, oh, well, you know, I'm putting all of this work into something. Maybe I should try selling it. And so then I'm like, I don't think that way. I don't think about how to go about that. It's not how my mind works. And I think it's true for a lot of artists and probably, you know, people who care more about their art in a genuine way probably tend to be kind of retarded in the selling it side, you know?
Yeah, if I may, I mean, this has been probably one of the biggest challenges I've had with SyncBook Press is like, you know, so SyncBook started as just, wasn't even really a thing. It was just like, hey, here's all these bloggers. What if we all wrote 10 pages? Wouldn't that be neat? And then when it started to actually sell and like people were getting attention for it, I was like, hey, this would be a great way to get these artists that I enjoy, get their stuff out there. And I feel like in some way I became like a promoter of the artistry that I was enjoying in this community. But it's continually been a challenge for me to try and walk that line of, I don't want to, like, when I'm in promotion mode, which I don't think I'm particularly good at, I'm trying, but I don't think I'm particularly good at because it's also not the way I my mind works. And then there are days where I just want to be an artist, and there are days like, if this sucks all my energy to be a promoter, and then there's no room left to create. So it's just, I guess what I'm saying is, like, it seems to be you can focus on one or the other, and there's a few people who have an ultra-rare talent for doing both at once. But I know I've been finding it very, very difficult. I sort of flip back and forth. If I need to be creative, everything else falls apart. And so trying to hold together a promotional platform while at the same time being an artist has been very, very difficult.
I can totally see that. Yes.
And going back to that idea of like being lucky, I don't want to, there's nothing, I mean, luck is a talent as well. Yeah. And if you're not good and you're lucky, then it's not going to last. So it's not taking anything away. So like, as a writer, I'm very lucky to have met Alan. Otherwise, I would not be a published author right now. I might be a guy who had a book, but I wouldn't be a published author, and I would be part of something that other people could notice. I actually think I was I had a lot more to offer as a musician than I did than I do as a writer. But I wasn't lucky enough to meet an Alan when I was a musician. I met a lot of people who I couldn't work with or couldn't work with me or whatever. We're not good at that side of the business. And it's funny you bring up Fugazi because I've always looked at them as being like, wow, I'm super impressed with how they were able to put out a righteous message and keep it that way. And I'm wondering, and the whole time I'm thinking, who's putting out that? Who's the cool person they were lucky enough to meet that they are able to put out that message? Because it's very hard to be living that righteously and also telling everyone how righteous you are. And how am I, a guy who's not listening to their music, knowing how righteous they are? Because someone's telling me, you know? And it's not just their fans. It's some machinery. Just like Alan builds the website and puts my book cover on it. And so people are going to think I'm smart because I'm part of...
They were before internet. They weren't getting radio airplay. They weren't getting MTV airplay. This was all word of mouth. But maybe this word of mouth was just the awe.
College radio ate that shit up. That was in the age when college radio broke.
Yeah, how'd Dave Matthews' band make it?
Well, that's a different thing.
So that's Matthews, the Golden Road?
They're college. They played colleges, is my only point. And then because they got popular in colleges, and then they got more and more attention. It's just,
but they were the real deal. That's why people talked about them. They were talking the talk and walking the walk. They were the complete package. And that's the machinery. That's the reason why we knew about them. Is because the respect that they commanded was earned.
Couldn't some Katy Perry fan out there be saying right now, she's not popular because she's like a spray-painted woman singing, you know, prepackaged pop songs, but because she has an natural talent? Like, I'm just saying, if someone out there in another conversation is saying Katy Perry's the real deal and, you know, Lady Gaga's bullshit or vice versa or whatever, like, I guess my point is, isn't that a fairly subjective statement?
Some people, that would be considered a subjective statement. It wouldn't be
I think
me.
To anybody that would be considered a subjective statement.
Whether you agree with it or not, it's subjective.
Right.
Well, you're saying, is Katy Perry talented? Well, you know, did she write the music that backs her songs? Did she write the lyrics? Could another singer sing her song better and actually make a better version of it? There's a lot of interchangeability there. Could she sit down in a studio for 1 week with a guitar and write a number one song? I don't know.
But, you know,
comparing Fugazi, I mean, and you did this, Alan. Comparing Fugazi to Katy Perry on that level is like apples and oranges. Compare Katy Perry to Elvis Presley or Frank Sinatra or other, you know, other faces of a team making music. You can do that. Fugazi, you got to compare. If you want to find a cheesy cut of them, then you got to look at a band.
So it's not about comparing the two bands. It's about comparing the statement. If you say this is the real deal,
Bill's saying is that the talent. He's saying that there, and I agree with him, that there is more talent involved in someone who can write and perform and create their own music than someone is a good face of a bunch of other talented people. And I think that's a totally valid point. And again, like I said, I agree with it.
Talented in one particular area. Like the person, hear me out. You said Fugazi might have had a girlfriend who was good at mailing lists or writing letters. Now that's talent. Like to say, you know, is she less talented than her boyfriend, the musician, or does she just have a different talent?
No, but I guess the difference is you have one talent, that's one thing. And to do what someone who can write and perform and produce, those are three different talents, and that doesn't even include musicianship, which is a fourth talent. These are all, you know, Katy Perry may be able to sing and perform. That's a talent, but it's not. I would say that you could say objectively, it's more someone who has more talents is a more talented person.
Hey, did I ever tell you the story about the man who taught his asshole to talk? His whole abdomen would move up and down as he came farting out the words. It was unlike anything I ever heard. You get my reference? What's talent? You know, it's like it's a question. You know, I don't have the answer.
Yeah, look at like there's some bullshit TV show that says America's Got Talent, and it's people will get like 10 seconds to like juggle swordfish or something, you know, or hey, I can balance this spoon on my table. It's like talent is. I guess my point is like it's very subjective.
Right, and so that's why I'm trying. What I was trying to do was get out of, like, I was trying to actually didn't want to have the what is talent, and it is a subjective conversation. I'm just saying that it's really hard to compare what a band like Fugazi does to what an artist like Katy Perry does, and it muddies the water. So, like, if you're really going to have the righteous versus the not righteous conversation, let's talk about things that are equivalent. It's like, let's not compare basketball players to football players. They're equally, they're different talented. We don't want to say which one's more talented, but let's compare bands, because a band like Fugazi is very hard to compare to a machinery, a star like Katy Perry.
And well, let's just at least focus in on music as being a communication from a source that seemingly is interconnected with that thing that we call Logos or Holy Spirit. That this is what Sync, I believe, is putting us in touch with. It's this message from some other dimensional or some other, I don't know, serious. Someplace outside of ourselves. Yes, yeah, something as profoundly bizarre and absurd, a conceit that on some days you believe is true, that you're getting communications from Sirius. Music is something that travels through these channels, you know what I mean? And that's what's so revolutionary about a musician, because he can be a Pied Piper, you know? He can make the children follow him. And it's like, you just want one band to hit the right chords, and we'll just all jump on their back, and they'll just take us there, you know? Music is revolutionary in that regard. And let's not ever fucking forget that. That's the whole Bill Hicks thing. Let's not ever forget that when Jimi Hendrix plays guitar, it allows us to think that maybe he came from another star system to make everything better, because his playing was that good. And you just don't get that in the mass-produced soda pop culture music, you know? Debbie Gibson was not sent to our planet so that we could say, you know what, it's all going to be okay, because this 16-year-old girl is feeling puppy love and she can dance. You know, let's not lose sight what Sync is a fabric of. It's a
Are you going to say that there's nothing of value in the sea because the surface looks a certain way?
There's nothing of value what?
In the sea, in the ocean, because the surface of the ocean is coming across as...
Look under the surface of... I hate saying the name again. Look under the surface of Katy Perry, you know? Look under the surface of what it is.
I don't mean just, hold on. I need to qualify what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, it's like when you look at mainstream culture in the first place, that there is a superficiality to it. And what appears is a shallowness. And in a lot of places, it's very shallow and very dull minds at work, right? But at the same time, that's like within culture, there's depths of what's actually taking place in experimentation with sound. And there's extraordinary things happening that aren't ultimately disconnected from what is being presented to the public. Because as far as like what's happening with technology and music, like there's fucking incredible, very soulful shit happening that I'm looking at. Superficial culture is like kind of like the surface of that thing. Like it's not, it's like you it's an appearance that's in the way of what's actually taking place in culture. It's a representational model.
Jesus walks on the water, does is he just a very, like, is he the ultimate shallow person?
Yeah, we're basically like Jesus walking on the water, and we're not piercing the depths of what's actually available.
You know, I hated when I was
Jesus
in high school.
Was saying,
keep going, Michael.
Please, Michael, go ahead.
No, it just cracks me up because, you know, in the New Testament, Jesus is always going, well, I say this to the masses because, you know, they're not going to get it. But to you, to my disciples, this is what we're really talking about.
Exactly.
And so there's that whole double meaning or triple meaning or whatever going on with all this shit. And you can, you're right, I'm not going to say her name again, but that blue-haired bitch doesn't have any idea what she's saying, and she kind of represents this whole, like, the masses. And I don't know, I mean, I hate her music, but there are times when she sings, and and you know, whatever. I don't think it's about talent at all when we're talking about Sync, because it's all our symbolic message about what, or, you know, it's what we're putting in there, our perception. So you can, I mean, if you're syncing with her, fine. But it's just, I prefer listening to different kinds of music.
Well, that's what I always feel like whenever there's this conversation comes up. It's like, well, I think you can sync with anything, and you find, if you want to call it God in the trash, or you can find God in anything, or you can find the wiring under the board or whatever it is. And it's like, if you can find it in anything, then do we have to dive? Do we have to find it in KDP? Like, it's one thing to prove that it's there, that you can do that. And it's another thing completely, it's like, to spend all our time digging through trash. Like, if I can find God in the trash, if I guess what you're saying is, like, if I can find God in the trash, or I can find God in an apple, or I can find God in my wife's vagina, or I can find God in supermarket, or I can find God in Beethoven, or I can find whatever it is, I guess I'm saying there are times where I have sympathy for Bill's argument. Is it almost seems like we're a bunch of people just hanging out in a garbage dump, where it's like, hey, look, I found this. There are other places to look.
I don't think mostly people in the sync movement, I mean, it seems like we don't have, it's not like the sync movement is totally infested with people who are only paying attention to trivialities. It seems I don't think that's the case.
I don't think so either. Let me finish my point. I'm saying, so there are days that I'm sympathetic. That is like, it, I'll be honest, days it seems like, you know, the majority of the things that I see being put out, whether it be on Facebook or people's blogs, is very, very pop culture oriented. And I think just even show, we might go to a different pop culture, or we might explore other things, but I don't think there's like a highbrow or a lowbrow. It's like, you could be looking at, you know, this avant-garde film from Japan from the 1960s, or you'd be looking at a Katy Perry video. One doesn't make you cooler than the other. One doesn't make you more special than the other. But what Michael was saying is, what I was really trying to get at is, regardless, if you can find it in anything, why don't you find it in the thing you enjoy? So if you enjoy Katy Perry, fucking go for it. And if you enjoy Stanley Kubrick, fucking go for it. If you enjoy, you know, Russian literature, fucking go for it. I think this is the beauty here, is that if we can find it in anything, choose what really speaks to you and enjoy that.
And like, sometimes you just can't choose it.
Oh,
sometimes
it
chooses you.
And then the thing. If it's popular, if it's popular, it's going to sink. Just because it's I've been bartending at weddings. Like, the music, I've heard more Katy Perry this summer than I probably would ever in other circumstances. More Black Eyed Peas, or, you know, more what is popular music for young people. And it's just that it's ubiquitous. So it's in the realm of sync. It's the one artistic realm where you kind of have to take Katy Perry seriously. Because if a Katy Perry song is playing while you're having a car crash or falling in love or having a bird shit on your head, that's going to be a sink. And you're less likely to have that happen with something, some obscure, interesting music that you'd have to go to a festival or find a particular website to find. And then you can create your own syncs with that, with the music you have in your iPhone or your, there's some advertising for you.
And did Kott, you know, really put this, he set this, the tone of sync in the first place by dredging through the shittiest of shitty movies and, you know, just picking a thread and showing how it, you know, meandered through. And, you know, anyone could look at that and go, okay, I get what sync is. I think he particularly liked those movies, but he made his point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. If shitty product counts against you, then films that being well done really are pointless. You know, because the films that I've been involved in, that Will Morgan's been exploring, are really, I mean, I was there. I saw how the sausage was made. It's crass commercial, but like very low bar for integrity, quality control, or just like base continuity. So, I mean, I'm going to say Katy Perry's work towers artistically over almost everything that I've done on film.
I think autistically is actually what.
Both. But the thing, I mean, I think about the thing that is interesting to me about Sync is that it doesn't find value because we can find anything anywhere. It actually intuits a kind of value that transcends its intention and, you know, the actual quality of the whole because of the nature of film or of recording. Recording reality, playing it back is always going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm. So here's going to play devil's advocate for Bill's argument, or I don't know if I'm actually arguing Bill's argument. I'm not sure, but let me say this. So if you go into a forest and there's a bunch of screaming birds, there you could, on one hand, you could say, well, this is a boy that the Zen master has to kind of drown out the noise of the world to find his inner peace. You could argue that that's syncing with whatever you went into the forest to get away from the noise of the city life, or whatever. Or the other thing you could say is, hey, it's a pattern, it's a sync, it's whatever, pay attention to it, but maybe they're all screeching because something very bad has happened. And maybe that's something you need to pay attention to. You know, are the birds, are the animals all screeching through the forest because there's a fucking earthquake coming or a forest fire or whatever? And perhaps the, you know, superfluous pop culture noise is in itself a warning. I'm just throwing this out there as a
Totally. I was just thinking of that because I was thinking about Pink Floyd Animals and Charlotte's Web and just what they're communicating with sheep in terms of synchronicity. I was equating sheep with synchronicity. So if you know that song where they're like, first lyrics are harmlessly passing your time in the grassland away, only dimly aware of a certain unease in the air. You better watch out. There may be dogs about the whole, like, I've seen things are not what they seem, but like that you could take a lot of when things are starting to connect, you can see where they start to lead to, and they're not always like glowing happy places. You kind of have to go through some fucking depths sometimes, and a lot of those depths are actually like feel like warnings on a personal level, on a global level.
Yeah, totally. They're not happy sinks a lot of times.
Yeah, that's like, but then you're getting another side of the coin in terms of like how you're interpreting. It's almost like aiding and coming to terms too, like with the nature of things, like see something for what it is. It's like, how deep do you want to go? Sometimes it's almost like it's presenting like an extreme scenario to see, like, I don't know. It feels like it's like an initiation in that sense. Like you have to face your fears sometimes, and sometimes that doesn't feel good. So, you know, and to pay attention, you know, with the direction of your personal life and the direction of the global web, you know. Yeah, I'm not saying anything new here, but I'm just, I've been thinking about that.
It's we're almost at the 3-hour mark.
Okay.
And I actually have an appointment that I need to get out to. Although I could stay here and talk about this. This has been a really interesting conversation.
Yeah, I think this is a good place to sort of turn the tide here. Michael, I want to thank you very much for joining us. I'm sorry, this was a particularly heated or specific thing, but I'd love to have you back again anytime, joining the conversation. I appreciate your input.
Totally.
I think what I'm going to say is, if Andros, if this is run down for you, and Michael, I'm not trying to kick you out here, but this is today is going to be Bill Klaus's last episode with us, and I wanted to take maybe if we could do like 20 more minutes and just me, Bill, and David, and just kind of wish him off well or something like that. So,
yeah, that's no problem. I think I have talked enough, and it's been a pleasure hanging with you guys, and Bill, good luck in your next endeavor.
Thank you, Mike. It's great to finally talk to you, and hopefully I'll pop up somewhere in the near future, but it'll probably make more sense over the last half hour of this conversation, but thanks for the well wishes.
Alrighty.
Hey, I hope we can do another sync cabin possibly next year. That would be nice. I'd like to see you again.
That was a blast. And totally. I think we should do it in Washington State, even though it's kind of far away for some people. But
I'm down with that. Yeah, we'll talk about it.
All right, cool.
I'm 100% down with going back that way. It was beautiful out there, and there's a lot of people out there, and then obviously, as you guys are talking about, is marijuana prohibition seems to be on pause, so it's another good excuse.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, right. Yeah, and yeah, to Bill, good luck to you as well. It's I know we've locked horns a bit, but I think it makes for a really good I've really enjoyed our dances with synchronicity together, and you know, I could foresee a time we could take it on the road, like Timothy Leary and G. Gordon Liddy.
No, I've always enjoyed talking with you, Andres. You have strong opinions, and you know how to back them up, and I always think that makes for good conversation.
Cool. Well, thanks a lot, and I'm sure we'll be talking more. So I wish I could hang out for your send off, but I'll just give you my send off now. Good luck.
All right, thanks, man.
I'm one of the heroes.
Yeah. Can we talk to you? Do you mind?
What do you want to talk about?
What happened today?
Well, went straight out of Dogtown, skateboarding, surfing it up. Before I say anything else, I want to say no matter what you've done, you deserve respect. Even if you make mistakes, you're lovable. And it doesn't matter your look, skills, or age, or size, or anything, you're worthwhile. No one could ever take that away from you. Now, this stuff right here...
So are you resigning?
I'm being retired, is what's happening.
You're being retired? That sounds like someone's put out.
Yeah, retired.
Did your CIA handler say your time is done here?
Well, I got a one-way ticket out to the Jan Irvin compound. I'll be shacking up there for the next 4 months, getting complete quadrivium and trivium training.
Well, when next time, if you ever want to come back in the future and yell at us about being Zionists, we welcome you.
Well, I'll have all my facts straight, see? I'll be able to construct a complete and total argument. I'm really looking forward to it.
Or facts? I think you just yell a lot.
Just bark. Learn how to bark.
Well, you know, we're going to probably take a 3-week break or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to continue.
Hell yeah.
And
absolutely.
You're welcome on any time, obviously.
That's anytime. Awesome.
Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah, I think right now for me, generalize too much, but I need to step away from sync, as it were.
Well, good luck with that.
As far as, you know, my relationship, we all have unique relationships to the show, I think. And the relationship I have to the show is one of just sort of completion right now. And I think of the 64 episodes that we've put together are really should be valuable to anyone interested in this field for a long time to come. I hope that there are more libraries of shows like this that evolve over the next few years, just with the focus that it is, you know, how focused we were on synchronicity. So it just, it's sort of like for my path right now, I need to kind of step further away from it so that I can kind of get some other things in order. So it's definitely a personal decision, but I'm really happy with the archives. And I definitely look forward to listening to them again myself somewhere down the road, as well as to future episodes that you guys produce as well. I just, as far as being a vocal participant in it, it's just something that I feel like I need to kind of get away from.
Yeah. Well, you like I said, at any point, if you want to jump in, not as co-host, but as a participant, you're way
more. Once you're out, you're out, man.
Yeah, this is forever, yo.
Yeah. We're not going to jump you out. unless if you really want to get jumped out, we can work something out. I'll call my people in Chicago and they'll take care of it.
Yeah, you know how you quit the mafia, right?
The shoes are made of concrete.
Just when you think you're out, they pull you back in.
And we're going to give a whole new meaning to the word sink.
The final sink.
If you know what I mean. With some soapbox shoes filled with concrete.
David, but just feed him to the cleep.
Feed him to the cleep out? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Oh, no. The rancor pit? Well, you're gonna be missed, but I have a strong feeling that you're gonna be still around and hanging out. So I'm not too worried about that. I just see that you're no longer taking on your position as co-host of the trio.
Yeah, who knows what tomorrow brings, but. It just feels like the right time for me, and I think that the show can use, or the platform could use maybe shaking up just a little bit, and I think it's in more than capable hands with your two voices.
We're probably going to put a resume, we're going to ask for resumes for a third co-host out into the web.
A position likely needs to be filled out in Sinkland. The pay's not great.
Big shoes to fill.
Big Ronald McDonald shoes to fill, or Sideshow Bob shoes to fill.
But it's been
I'm gonna ask you. Sorry, no, I'm just gonna keep fucking around. Go ahead. I'm gonna ask Ian Irvin to apply.
I gotta say though, I feel like absolutely the luckiest man on the planet. No, I can't express to anyone out there just how valuable it has been to talk with Alan and David on such a regular basis in a format such as this, where whether or not how much you want to take the recording part of it as to be an element, it is a profound element to the dialogue, to know that your thoughts are going to be permanent on some level or some media-based level, that complete strangers are going to be listening to the opinions and thoughts that are oftentimes forming as the words are coming out of your mouth, and that you're going to be held to those opinions and thoughts. It really seems to have affected my thinking and affected my work in just an unchangeable way. So I am more than grateful for the time that I got to spend on air with you guys. It's just
your idea in the first place. Always Record was your idea.
Well, yeah, I think that I sensed a void out there because I was having so much enjoyment hearing all these writers and thinkers, but I never thought that the conversations ever evolved into the deeper areas. And I think Alan seized on it quicker than I thought. I mean, it just was like, it just seems so obvious. And I think it was Alan who was just like, let's call David DVD Platypus. Let's just start talking and recording. And we didn't really think about structure. We just knew that there was a void that needed to be filled. And we just all three of us just sort of jumped in. And
when Bill first mentioned it, I mean, I had at that point, I think, David, two conversations with you where we had probably like 3-hour conversations on Skype, just, and it seemed so, it was, for me, it felt like such a great conversation. Bill and I had a few conversations like that. Apparently, you and Bill had a few conversations like that. It's just like, what if we all got in the room together and did that regularly? It seemed like such a sort of brainer. So, that being said, I mean, I appreciate, Bill, I very, very much appreciate you sort of tossing this idea out there, because if this had happened, I really can't imagine the last, what have we been doing this, like a year, almost a year and a half, something like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I can't imagine how that last year and a half would have gone if I hadn't been able to have this conversation, this space for development of ideas and just hearing your guys' input. So this is going to be very, very important to me, and I definitely want to thank you for pitching the idea as well as your input over this last, let's just say, year and a half.
Thank you, my brother. I think everybody wins. Everybody won on this project. And there's just so many ideas that got to have public reflection upon, and so many different people to have long, in-depth conversations with. I really think that pretty much everybody that I wanted to talk to out there, we were able to get as a guest, and then there were so many other wild cards that we had that I was able to talk to. And like you said, it was just creating this space for the conversation to happen. It just seemed that it was something that was destined to happen. I really can't think of where I'd be today without this space over the last year and a half. So I think everyone should really be proud of what was accomplished. And I really would love to get like trading cards of the artwork you did for every episode.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you could get that licensed and just get those out there, that would just be amazing, you know?
Totally. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, guys. Yeah, it's been weirdly, like, one of the most enjoyable things. You know, as I was saying earlier, I mean, my creative outlets have felt very stymied on the large scale for the last, probably 2 years, ever since the Sync book endeavor has consumed a lot of my time and a lot of my energy. And one of the things that I've looked forward to, I don't want to say on an equal level as our conversations, but something that I've really looked forward to each week is little piece of canvas that could be explored creatively. And, to have somewhat of a launching point in our conversations and stuff like that. So it's like, honestly, I feel like on multiple levels, this show has helped me keep my sanity, because it's given me a creative outlet when I don't have a lot time or energy left for the things that I really want to do, these bigger projects. And then on the other hand, when I'm wrestling with some of these ideas, to have two very intelligent and very understanding people to speak to about it has undoubtedly helped me keep my shit together on many occasions.
Dig it. I resonate with that.
Yeah, if there's any graphic designers out there who need somebody, hire Alan Green, for Christ's sake. Give him all the money in the world. The motherfucker's a genius. I mean...
Well, we don't really need money, honestly, at this point, because, Bill, once you're gone, David and I are going to sell Always Record to Pepsi.
Yeah.
This is going to become...
They approached us. We didn't tell you, but about 3 months ago, we got taken out to dinner. And they gave a really good pitch, and we're down. So that's what's happening now.
We were just waiting for you to go, man. We were the last holdout.
God damn it. Oh, well, I always have
Pepsi
Facebook.
Pepsi presents Always Record.
Next week's guest. You, some might know her as that blue-haired bitch. Yeah, right. Fellas. So, you know, this is not a goodbye. It's just a signing off. And
you're going off the record?
Never record.
Off the record.
Never record.
Well, don't forget, Bill, you're always on the Akashic record.
Yes. I'll always have the Akashic record.
There's no escaping
records.
It. But, Vroom, man, you definitely will be missed. Like I said, I don't feel like this is in any way a goodbye, which is probably why I'm taking a humorous approach to this, but I don't feel this is in any way a goodbye, but I do definitely want to say thank you for everything. It's been a like, for real, an absolute pleasure.
Totally. I agree. I'll miss you.
Alrighty, brothers. Well, for right now, for the last time, I'll say adios, and I don't know. We'll see what sinks next, right?
Hey, can we end this episode with David Bowie's Changes?
Can I do it? Regular version or chopped and screwed?
Is there another version? What's the other version?
You know, I do a little DJ on the side too, Dave.
What other version is there of Changes?
I do a remix version.
Oh, you do a remix
version. A lot of echo and reverb on it.
Okay. I like the sound of changes. I can feel it right now. There's changes abound. I'm feeling it.
Well, you realize, I'm sure Bill, you did realize this, ending on 64 is a full E-Ching cycle, so you have your book of changes.
Yeah, we could start it with when I'm 64.
That's what I was thinking to call the episode, actually.
I was singing it yesterday to Amy, like, for a long period, actually. I was, like, trying to remember all of the lyrics, and just by coincidence, or by synchronicity, that's interesting. But, yeah, I was explaining to her that the 64 thing, if you watch Yellow Submarine and they do that song, they're, like, 60, there's 60 seconds in a minute, and then how many minutes are in a day, and then how many, like, I guess they're saying how many seconds are in 64 years, or they're implying that, or whatever.
No,
and
they
then
say it straight out, yeah.
Yeah, and then they have, and then they're like, and a second is a very long time, and then they demonstrate it with all the different weird characters for each one. But if you look at it like the I Ching, and then also that it takes 64 tetrahedrons to form a double isotropic vector metric, which is the most stable structure in all of geometry utilizing simple vectors, right? So that's fucking profound. Like, because the I Ching is made of hexagrams. We all know this stuff, but just...
David, were you doing this yesterday?
Yeah, I was talking about this yesterday.
Okay, because yesterday I was working on artwork for this episode, and I got that steam narrow submarine to get a screen of the number 64 they use.
Uh-huh.
We use that number 64 as our on the poster.
Awesome.
So it's just funny as that. I was looking at that yesterday, actually playing with that artwork, and I was noticing what I thought was very interesting in the number of seconds. There seemed at least to be a very prominent 53.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, you know, like there were like 3,300,000 seconds, you know, whatever it was. I was like, oh, that's interesting. But I was just looking at that yesterday, and I spent probably about an hour working on some images for today based around that. So it's pretty funny that you were having that conversation.
Yeah, I was explaining the scene to Amy and asking if she remembered it. Yeah, that's funny. Huh.
This synchronicity thing, there's no escaping it.